De terugkeer van de geestelijke hiërarchie. In het tweede deel van de lezing van Benjamin Graham in Nagoya in Japan in 2010, een nieuwe beschaving breekt aan, neemt Benjamin Graham ons mee in de tweede grote gebeurtenis die op dit moment op de planeet plaatsvindt, namelijk de terugkeer van de geestelijke hiërarchie van meesters van wijsheid, inclusief het hoofd hiervan, wereldleraar Maitreya. Benjamin Graham legt de betekenis en de rol van de spirituele hiërarchie op onze planeet Aarde uit.
At the same time, we have another extraordinary event, the emergence of our spiritual hierarchy of masters and initiates openly into the world. This is largely unknown to the world. And yet, I assure you it is taking place, and in the very near future, it will become commonplace to most people. Every kingdom grows out of the kingdom below it. The first to be laid down is the mineral kingdom. From the mineral grew the vegetable kingdom. From the vegetable grew the animal kingdom. From the animal kingdom grew the human kingdom. We owe our physical bodies to the animal kingdom. But we're not animals. We are a new kingdom, the human kingdom. Now, what most people don't know is that out of the human kingdom has been growing, is growing, and will continue to grow a new kingdom, the so-called spiritual kingdom, or the kingdom of souls, made up of those members of the human kingdom who can enlarge their consciousness and make an evolutionary change and development, not of the physical body, but of their consciousness. Essentially, all of us and everything is divine. Reflection of the divine universe in which we live. And the essence of that divinity is unity. Everything is related to everything else in the whole of cosmos. And gradually, this awareness takes place in individuals who are ready for the expansion of their consciousness. And humanity are a particular part of this evolution of this solar system. We are evolving through an expansion of our consciousness towards something we don't know yet, but some greater expression of the divinity of which we are a part. This expansion of consciousness takes place subtly, and people don't make a great effort in order to expand it. In their general life, living within the laws of life, it happens by itself. There are two great laws which dominate and rule all life on planet Earth. One is the law of cause and effect. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we think puts into effect a certain cause or causes. The effects stemming from these causes make our lives, for good or for ill. if our thoughts, our ideas, and our actions are within the law, if they are harmless and towards the better relationship between ourselves and others, then we are on the right side of the law, so to speak. If, on the other hand, our thoughts and actions are harmful and cause disruption, are destructive, then we, our lives, life likewise is harmful and destructive and painful, and so we make our own lives. Our happiness goes with our living within the law, and our unhappiness is the result of working against the law. The other great law governing life on this planet is the law of rebirth. And most people, or a lot of people say, think that when we die, when our physical body dies, for whatever reason, then that's it. We're finished. We have ended our lives. People who believe that, of course they are entitled to the belief, but people who believe that know nothing about the law of rebirth or about the true constitution of humanity. According to the most ancient teachings in the world, we are threefold in our nature. We are essentially divine, sparks of the divine. We also have solid physical bodies and less solid astral or emotional bodies and less solid mental bodies. So that there is no direct contact between ourselves as a spark of the divine and ourselves as the person we see when we look in the mirror. This being so, the divine spark, which is our highest aspect, creates an intermediary, a divine intermediary between itself and the man or woman on the physical plane. That intermediary is the divine human soul, which incarnates over and over and over again in the dense physical bodies which we think of as ourselves. So everyone now in this room, as we see ourselves, is the end product, up to the present only, of a succession of incarnations in which our soul, divine, a reflection of our divinity, reflects itself as the human personality over and over and over again. So creating a continuous contact and part of this divinity, which is our true reality. And that physical, emotional and mental aspect, which we sometimes think is all that we are. Now this evolution of the soul in incarnation has gone on for millions of years. And there are many members of humanity who have gone ahead of us in evolution. Human beings like us, who became something greater than human beings because they gradually evolved to reflect more and more the reality of the spark of God through the human soul. Thus there is another kingdom above the human kingdom. We call it the spiritual kingdom or the kingdom of souls. Who inhabits that kingdom? Well, it's not all on one level. At the lower levels, it is human beings who have expanded their consciousness up to a point. And those who have gone even further than the average and who have become totally part of the spiritual kingdom, they are usually called the masters of wisdom. On that level even, there are masters at different levels, some yes, more advanced than others. But a master of wisdom is a human being who has evolved his consciousness to enter the spiritual kingdom and to expand that consciousness into that of a master. For nearly 100,000 years, more like 90,000 years, the masters have lived in the remote mountain and desert areas of the world, working in the main through their disciples, men and women in the world, still ordinary but advancing human beings. A master is a human being who has perfected himself and become a divine being through the method of incarnation, the soul incarnating more and more, more and more often, until the human beings became more infected by the quality of the soul and therefore became divine. And sometimes every 2,000 years or so, one of these perfected men give their teachings to humanity. If you think about it, the lives of people like Confucius, say, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, how different their lives are and were from the ordinary. The usual method for this coming into the world of such a great being is to overshadow, as it's called, the consciousness of a lesser being, a disciple. The great teachers are really the Buddhas and the Christs and so on, are so high, their vehicles, their bodies are so high in vibration, they are light, they cannot just take physical incarnation on planet Earth. So they use a body of a disciple through whom their consciousness can work. The Buddha, for example, 600 years before the Christ, came as Gautama Buddha, but he was not Gautama. Gautama was a disciple of the Buddha who used the body of the Prince Gautama to manifest at this level. Likewise, 600 years later, the Christ in Palestine used the body of his disciple, the one known generally as Jesus of Nazareth, in which he used that body for the last 3 years of Jesus' life. So That's the usual way for the manifestation of a great teacher, one of the very highest ones. There is an office in the hierarchy of masters called the World Teacher. And the Buddha was the World Teacher while he manifested through the Prince Gautama. Today, the World Teacher is the one known generally to Christians as the Christ, by his personal name as the Lord Maitreya. Maitreya was the World Teacher after the Buddha for the age of Pisces, and will be still the World Teacher for this coming age of Aquarius. And for thousands of years, the masters have been hidden in the Himalaya, the Andes, the Rockies, the Cascades, the Urals, the Gobi, and various other deserts. But immediately after the last war, the war from 1939 to 45, Maitreya announced that if humanity of its own free will would take the first steps into making it, putting its house in order, as we say, making the changes which would bring justice and peace to the world, he would come into the world at the earliest possible moment with a large group of his disciples, the masters of wisdom. Maitreya said he would come when a measure of peace had been restored to the world, when the principle of sharing was beginning to govern economic affairs, and when right human relationship was beginning to be established in the world. These did not need to be perfect, but when our minds were moving in these directions, he said he himself would come, and at the earliest possible moment. That earliest possible moment became the 19th of July, 1977. In 1975, the vanguard of the masters came into the world, into five major centers: New York, London, Geneva, Darjeeling, and Tokyo. And later, into two minor centers, Moscow and Rome. In July 19th, July 8th, Maitreya descended from his mountain in the Himalaya and came down into the plains of Pakistan. In a body of manifestation which he had been creating for the previous 5 to 6 years, which allows him, for the first time in history, to come into the world as a great master, the master of all the masters, in a body which looks just like yours and mine, which looks entirely real and human, but in fact is created by an act of will. So for the first time, the World Teacher is in the world as the World Teacher and not overshadowing a disciple. There are now 14 masters in the world, together with the master of all the masters, the Lord Maitreya. Maitreya is awaited by Christians as the Christ, Jesus Christ. They don't know the difference between Jesus, who was the vehicle that the Christ used in Palestine 2,000 years ago. Jesus, who was a disciple, is now a very advanced master himself and is the master whose base is in Rome. He is in charge of the Christian church wherever it is found. His work is to cleanse the Christian tradition of all the man-made dogmas and doctrines which have been added over the centuries, and which has presented a rather erroneous view of the Christ to the world. The Christ and Jesus, or any of the masters, is not the one and only Son of God. This is a fantasy, a glamour presented to the world by the early Christian groups. But it is not the truth. No such a person exists in the whole of cosmos. There is no such person as the one and only Son of God. Every single human being is a son of God. Muslims await Maitreya as the Imam Mahdi, the great Imam. Jews await him as the Messiah. He came to the Jews through Jesus, but was not recognized. He's awaited by Hindus as Krishna or Kalki Avatar. He is awaited by Buddhists under his name as Maitreya Buddha, the coming Buddha. But there is no real understanding of the timing of his coming into the world. For example, here in Japan, official Buddhism postulates that the coming of Maitreya Buddha will take place in about 650 million years from now. So don't hold your breath. They're all wrong about the time. The Christ, the Imam Mahdi, Krishna, the Messiah, Maitreya Buddha, they're all names for one and the same individual, the head and leader of our spiritual hierarchy of masters, and he is physically present in the world since 1977.